The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody, come on in. Caught myself, not the final hour together today. I'm filling in for Dennis Prager. So we'll have Mike Gallagher next hour in the 11 o'clock hour as per the norm. And then the Dennis Prager Show noon to 2. And I'm doing that one today. And it's very cool, especially when you start listening right there at 12:06, the beginning of the noon hour. Guess who's going to be there with me? Our buddy Larry Elder, fresh off the California recall vote. Didn't go exactly the way Larry wanted or the way I wanted. But you know what? It went the way I kind of think it was always going to go. So what next for Larry? Is he going to be like back on the radio anytime real soon? Or does he envision other political things? We'll ask Larry right there as I begin on the Dennis Prager Show right out of the 12 o'clock news. All right, this is unbelievably cool. It's very opportune in the following way. What have we been talking about a lot lately in terms of Texas legislative progress toward things that we as conservatives want? The pro-life movement is in great rejoice at the Texas heartbeat law, which features an opportunity to stop abortions at the moment there's fetal cardiac activity at 6 weeks. And the pro-choicers and the dominant media culture that is their loyal stenographers have been fond of marching around, and somebody tried to hit Governor Abbott with this the other day, and they will, anybody who voted for it or any conservative anywhere on the street. Why would you, you know, force a woman who's been raped to carry that child to term? Well, it's a complete non sequitur question, because 6 weeks means 6 weeks, meaning that if there's the course you wish to take, then you still can. But then you get to what I've said forever, and that is, don't do it anyway. And do you know how much heavy lifting it is for me to sit here and tell a rape victim don't get an abortion? I mean, I know I'm not her, and that's not a path that I'll ever travel, and that's not anything that could ever happen to me, either the rape or the pregnancy. However, we are all entitled to morality. Whether men or women, we're all entitled to feel whatever way we wish about the human rights issue of abortion. So it was actually a couple of years ago, I guess, I was talking about the moral idiocy of the rape and incest exception if one considers oneself to be pro-life. You're either pro-life or you're not. If you're pro-life, it means that innocent life is sacred, and that does not change if the circumstances, the incredible unfortunateness of incest or the outright crime of rape, that does not change the sacred stature of that newly created life. And I didn't coin this, but I think my favorite usage here is, let's not compound the horror of rape with the murder of abortion. So I can sit here and talk about that all day. But as I did one day, I made the acquaintance of a woman who lives in Virginia, and I think just sort of some A spoke to B, spoke to C, and I wound up talking to her a couple years ago. And I refer to that conversation all the dang time, because she at the time had a son who was 5, and it's like, what are we saying? That kid shouldn't exist? And, well, he's 7 now, and she's coming to town now, and she is here now. Let's talk about all of the above. Hey, Jennifer, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, I'm so good. Thank you for having me.
So let's get an update on the boy. 7 years old. Okay. How's he doing? How are you doing? How's the family?
He's Everyone's great. Things have blossomed and flourished. And I, as I was telling you, you know, I spoke in Ohio a couple of months ago, and people came up to me. They're like, I was so excited to hear you on Mark Davis. And I was like, I know her. I've heard her speak. And
that's awesome.
So it's really neat how people from, you know, all over, I guess the pro-life world is pretty tight. But Joshua is his name. Jehovah Saves. Joshua's turning 7 next week, and he's a pretty neat kid, and we've been very outspoken about the value of his life, and we've told him a little bit about his story as is age appropriate.
Whoa.
You know, that he's the superhero of our family.
Wow.
You know, something very bad happened and a bad man hurt mommy, but you know, we found out when we were all very sad, the whole family was very sad. And then we found out that, you know, the bad man planted a seed, and he's like a plant. And I'm like, sort of, you know, but then, you know, God gave us this gift, and we found it, and daddy was so excited, and he knew you were so special and wanted to be your daddy. And isn't that amazing? And then the whole family was happy again, and you gave us back our happy, and you are our superhero. And when someone who follows the page sent him a cape, and you know, he's super jockey.
That's
and he
tremendous.
That.
I do have to ask, because boys totally resonates, totally get it. That's kind of the point. I can almost hear people talking to me in my earphone here. Do you have to pull that out when he's in second grade?
Yes, actually, yes, we do, because you know, the story is public. And these are public records, and we didn't decide to go public with it at first. It was out there. The man who attacked me was a serial killer. That was out there. And this was not something he needed to Google when he was 15 and find out.
Okay.
And so speaking with child psychologists, speaking with trauma experts, you want to normalize these things as abnormal as they are. You want to normalize these things when they're young. So you don't drop this bomb on them when they're, you know,
and phrase it really, really vaguely and obliquely, as you said, age appropriately, so that when he's 13 and somebody goes, hey, you know, aren't you the product of your mom's rape? He can go, didn't they started to tell me about this a while back, so that it's not as much of a gut punch. Okay, gotcha.
Well, exactly. So you ease into, you know, he knows that he was chosen. He knows he was from somewhere else, but he was something special and wonderful. And so he knows we talk about him. And, you know, I told him last week, you know, mommy and daddy went, we talked, and there were almost 4,000 people who heard all about you and how amazing you were. And they all clapped and cheered for you. And he got all like beamy. And it was just, so he knows some, and he knows something bad happened, but something good came from it. And so that's, you know, and he'll learn. And I'm not so naive as to think that difficult conversations won't come. The attack was very brutal, but he has the foundation of knowing that this is how we feel, and that there are people all around the world who talk about what an amazing gift he is. And so there's a lot of support there.
You and your husband have turned this into an incredible campaign of awareness and outreach for people who are pregnant under the, listen, unwanted pregnancies are an incredible trauma, no matter what, under any circumstance. The product of rape ratchets it up, you know, cranks it up to 11 in a whole lot of different ways. And lovelouder.com, the website, lovelouder.com. And you guys are not shy about this, and this is exactly what the awareness is like. So let me hit you with question one, and this is what everybody's going to ask you, this is what everybody wonders. How in the world do you, now, I mean, after 7 years, okay, but if in year one, year two, year three, how in the world do you look at him and not think about the horrible thing that happened to you?
Yeah, I can give you all the questions that you'll be asked. It was never for us. It was never for me. It's never been an issue ever. I've never looked at him and seen anything but my child. Now, granted, I was raped by a stranger. I didn't have any kind of relationship with him. I didn't have more than a second or two of seeing his face, and trauma does strange things to the brain. So I'm not even sure now how much I remember of what he looked like. So there is that. And there's the fact that this child looks just like me, which is a blessing. I had one moment. I just wrote a book. And so I went into this a little bit, that I did have a moment when I was about to give birth where I said to my husband, I said, what happens if he comes out and all I see is the man who raped me? And Jeff said, then we'll get through it, because that's what we do. And I said, okay. But it never happened like that. He was mine. He was ours. And I know and have spoken to literally hundreds and hundreds of women who have conceived in rape, and very few have dealt with seeing the rapist. And usually the ones who do are ones who have had a long-term relationship. It was marital rape.
Already a familiar face, a little harder to erase.
Someone they knew. Mm-hmm. And they don't resent the child. It's just, you know, he gets, it's a boy and he gets to be 15, 16, 17 and it's a struggle. And then that's, you know, therapy comes in, and that's something that you work through. It's not something like, well, I better kill him just in case.
Exactly. Thank you for all of these difficulties, for all of these challenges, for all these obstacles, extinguishing a uniquely created human life is never the moral go-to option. Jennifer Christie is here.
It's also not the healing option.
Yeah. So Jennifer Christie is here. I'm so glad to talk to you again. Let's talk about why you are here. You're coming to town tomorrow because, speaking of people who are pro-life heroes, Abby Johnson, who is in her wonderful path, is that she was in the abortion industry, had an epiphany about how horrible it was for her to be in that industry, came out, and you're coming to town to be part of her event. What is her outfit called again?
So Abby, she's got a couple of them now, but she, her original organization, and then There Were None, to help women leave the abortion industry. Mm-hmm. And she's got, and these are amazing women. I love them. They are doing a fundraiser, their first ever, what they're calling a quitter's ball. And so they're doing a black tie event.
Awesome.
And they're going to have a lot of women. It's free to go to. The dinner's free, everything. They're just hoping to do a great fundraiser. And there's going to be a lot of women there talking about their experience in the abortion industry and what you're not being told, you know, the truth of it all, that the ugly truth. But these women are inspirational and funny and clever, and it'll be an amazing night.
I just Googled it. It is indeed called the Quitter's Ball. That is so awesome.
The Quitter's Ball.
And it's at the Hilton Anatole there on Stemmons Freeway. And I learned something about you. Listen, you being there is just an inspiration, but you also bring a skill set. You're going to do so a little ASL, a little sign language for folks, right?
Yep. That's my career. And Abby and I are, our organization, Love Louder, is affiliated with her organization, Pro Love Ministries. And Abby and I have been friends for a few years. And she's very passionate about making things accessible for the deaf. And so she is one of the people who have helped me kind of get inroads. The March for Life this year was interpreted. I interpreted the March for Life this year, even though it was virtual. And she has all of her events interpreted, her pro-life women's conferences, her gala. She hires me for all of those. And I was like, you can find a local interpreter and you don't have to pay for a plane. She's like, nope, I want you. We're keeping it in the family. So
absolutely.
Just land me out there and I'll be interpreting. So if you know anyone who's deaf and who wants to be there, it will be accessible.
Yeah, there are a couple of reasons to have you in the building, I think. So that makes huge sense.
I think that she's
a little bit. It said you're not just another interpreter. So it is the Quitter's Ball. And I just found it. If you just do Quitter's Ball, Anatole, Anatole, there's an outfit called All Events In, and it is free. It is black tie. So you got to steam off the formal wear, and by all means, there will be a support request made of the event, because that's kind of the point. But see Abby and see Jennifer, and just let their stories wash over you, because this is what it is all about. I am so glad to say hi to you again. Best to you, and you know something, you're amazing. Joshua's amazing. That's a quality husband you got hanging out with you too. Apparently, I mean,
he's pretty good. We did a thing on Focus on the Family a couple months ago, and he started talking, and he started crying, and then Jim Daly started crying. I'm like, why is it that among this table, the two men are the ones that are bawling?
Yeah, there
it was pretty beautiful.
That's
yeah,
it. Now, are there siblings involved? How many kids do you have?
I have 5 kids.
Man.
And Joshua's the much youngest. We're grandparents, you know. Our other kids, we have a couple in our 20s and their late teens. So,
then let me come full circle. Are the siblings all up to speed here?
Oh yeah, they had to be. They
well,
knew their dad
exactly.
had a vasectomy.
Something happened about 7 years ago.
That.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah,
always like to finish with
amazing.
A really dumb question. So cool that they will help, and they will help him in any way. All of you talk about having the families. See, that is the thing. I mean, hello, I literally can't imagine what that horror is like. But then the question, God then places it before you. Okay, what are you going to do now?
And that's really what it was. I mean, the family was, this was, it was a bad attack. I was very hurt. We had residual, I've had 14 surgeries at this point. I developed epilepsy. So it was like things were bad. We didn't know where he was. We left the state. We were not doing well. And Joshua was this anchor at the time. He was this light. He was something to look forward to. And also, you know, we financially everything upended because I had been the main breadwinner. And it was like, okay, guys, we are going to have to depend on God in a way that we didn't ever have to, because we were comfortable and things were smooth and we didn't have these kind of bumps. And so as difficult as it was, the kids got to see what walking in faith really looks like when you're in the valley. That's and it. They got to experience these things that they wouldn't have otherwise.
That's what's so cool about talking to you and having you on, is I can sit here all day and be right all day and be morally correct all day. That's, you know, la-di-da, good for me. But you are the embodiment of that grace and that faith. So, Jennifer, thank you. LoveLouder.com for Jennifer's group. And just Google a Quitter's Ball Anatole. It is Saturday, and you can go see all of those good folks. And the thing about quitting is about women who have managed to exit themselves from the abortion industry. And, boy, do they have stories to tell, and so does Jennifer.
You.
Bless you. Let's talk again soon. Best to you, the family. Big hug to Joshua. What day is his actual birthday? September what?
September 22nd.
Excellent. Very cool. So just give him a huge, huge hug from, I don't speak for everybody, from all of us. I will speak for everybody on this instance. So Jennifer, God bless and thank you very, very much.
You too.
You betcha.
Thank you so much.
I knew that would be cool. Alrighty, 924, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. I was not looking for a theme for the ladies joining the Quitter's Ball and not returning to the abortion industry. But John Hiatt and Ain't Never Going Back seems appropriate.
I ain't never going back no more.
There you go. Boy, even a blind pig finds an acorn sometimes. We're on the phone. We're in Dallas. Brad, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark.
Hey.
So there's been lots in the news about Governor Abbott's executive order still, and now about the mask mandates, banning it with the school districts.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the AG has been suing various school districts, but, you know, I'm here still in Dallas, and I don't seem to see any movement on that. Do you know?
Okay.
Is anything being done?
It's a different court battle, absolutely. In the ping pong match of mask mandates just overall in Dallas County, the same Dallas Circuit Court judge who blocked Governor Abbott before has done so again. This is Daddy Clay's best friend, Judge Tanya Parker, and her decision was a couple of weeks ago that's where the status quo is right now, upholding the Dallas County mask mandate until Paxton and it's going to be the state Supreme Court. Ultimately, the state Supreme Court is simply going to have to say the Abbott executive order stands, nothing subverts it, and then all these county mask mandates will go away. How long might that take? Not as long as some other court cases, which can take years and stuff. Perhaps in the maybe even the coming weeks, the state Supreme Court may settle this once and for all. For right now, because of Judge Tanya Parker, Daddy Clay's mask mandate is the rule of the moment.
Okay. I mean, that's what I wanted to know.
There
I
you
kind
go.
Of feel abandoned out here.
I know. But it's so loosey-goosey. Yeah, there you can find businesses that are on it and those that are not, and just always have one with you. And that way, you know, you can go where you need to go and not start an argument or anything until we can get all this squared away. And I appreciate it. Thanks. And by the way, the definition of squared away to me is having the law obeyed. Because as I've said 47 times, this isn't about what you think of masks or what you think of COVID or what you think of Abbott or what you think of anything. This is about the only question. The legal question is, did Governor Abbott have the right in that executive order to tell counties they can't have a mask mandate? Yes, he does. And the Supreme Court's going to come around to that. And when it does, then all this will be at least it'll all be within the law. You can react to that however you like. You can talk all day whether that's a power you think the governor ought to have. We'll take that up with the legislature because they're the ones who gave it to him. All right, 9:32. Let me hand the spotlight to Gordon Griffin. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. I should probably eliminate confusion. I guess I'm just in a bluesy mood because it's B.B. King's birthday. This is actually Robert Ely. And please, Mr. Johnson. Well, you know I'm going to grab a B.B. King record to take us out. So it's a very blues-laden half hour. and Lord knows there's plenty to have the blues about. Good grief. This Mark Milley nonsense. I started out the show today telling you that I'm going with this. That there's like a law of physics that if someone says something about you that is reputationally destructive and it's not true, you're going to rear up pretty immediately and say, hey, that's not true. General Milley's, I guess you'd almost call it doubling down. He does describe the phone call. He doesn't say the phone call was not made. And it's like he's trying to make it all right. And these stupid, stupid people whose minds are just et up with Trump hatred, they think this is heroic and is going to be perceived as heroic. If you're new to the party, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in October of 2020 buzzed up his counterpart in the communist Chinese military and essentially said, Trump's crazy. But I'm here to tell you that he's not going to nuke Beijing. And if there's ever anything that he just decides he wants to do aggressively militarily toward you, I'll stop him. If we're going to do anything, I'll let you know ahead of time. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's what leads to the deployment of the T word. That word is treason. At the very least, it is another T word, treachery. And a lot of people are going, oh, you want evidence of a coup? This is what a coup looks like. Our military operates under civilian oversight, the commander-in-chief. And by the way, you may think Joint Chiefs Chairman is a very big deal. By the way, it is, but like that's like the top military guy. He's almost like junior commander-in-chief. Yeah, he's not. Right. Joint Chiefs Chairman is an advisory role. A president nominates, the Senate confirms. That's what Trump did in 2018. That's how Milley became Joint Chiefs Chairman. It's an advisory position that falls to someone with a stellar military record, which Milley had, and that's how he was there. It is in no way like the Joint Chiefs Chairman doesn't buzz up, you know, other commanders in the field as their superior and bark around orders and tell them what to do. Nor does the Joint Chiefs Chairman buzz up rival military commanders to comfort them and canoodle with them about some paranoia over our wheels-off president. This is textbook stuff for the Trump haters. Textbook stuff. And the media laps it up like milk in a kitty cat's bowl. They just love it. Oh, here's somebody. And that's what happened here. And the trap snapped closed on him. Oh, Milley's a hero. This is awesome. Look what he had to do because Trump was just so outhouse rat crazy. He had to do it. He's a hero. He protected us from the craziness of Trump. Yeah, the problem is that's all fiction. That is all this bizarre paranoia born of people, whether it's John Kelly, John Bolton, Mad Dog Mattis, all these people who went in there and thought, yeah, this Trump guy, I got to handle him. Yeah, and then he schools them, and they can't handle it. It appears that Milley's no different. And a lot of people said, well, Mark, I mean, this is all coming from a book by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. All right. What makes you believe that necessarily? Because I'm willing to hold out skepticism toward virtually anybody and everything. Skepticism is a virtue. But a couple of things make this believable. And right now, chief among them is Milley's silence. He's nowhere to be seen saying, I did not do this. I would never circumvent the chain of command in order to, you know, comfort a enemy military leader by painting fantasy insulting portraits of the president in the process. I would never do that. Didn't do it, would never do it. If Milley steps forward and says that, oh, I don't know, tomorrow would be good, today would be good, then I will adjust my remarks accordingly. Until then, I think he did it. Because there's another thing that leads to my ability to believe this, and that is when you are in the Book of Fairness, you ready? The Book of Fairness says, no such book, perhaps I should write it. You open up the Book of Fairness, and it says if somebody has in their track record something that is just really bizarre and weird and a head scratcher and a problem, then that means that if you hear of a second one, it's not like it's impossible, right? Logic dictates that if you learn something peculiar about somebody, it doesn't mean that the next peculiar thing is automatically true, but it means you got the beginning of a pattern. And for Milley, it is his love affair with critical race theory. I said my shoulders just slumped watching one of our top military leaders talk about how much he wanted to get in touch with white rage, learn what it is so that soldiers and sailors and Marines and Coast Guard, and one presumes the Space Force, can learn all about white rage and privilege and all those other index cards from the poisonous doctrine of critical race theory. We have a Joint Chiefs Chairman who's okay with that. And I'll tell you what that points to is liberalism. This is what does that to your brain. And all these Trump haters, even the ones who are still trying to maintain some tiny fibrous thread of conservative cred, all these former Republicans, it was their liberalism that got them. It was their liberalism that betrayed them. It was their liberalism that turned them into Trump haters. And so for General Milley to have that going on in his brain and his heart, if I now suddenly learn the possibility that he was such a sufficient Trumpophobe that he went ratting to the communist Chinese about his paranoias and comforted them instead of serving the president at whose pleasure he enjoys that post, it's just suddenly not so difficult to believe. So the book in question is Peril, by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. And another part of it describes General Milley saying that he even shared these concerns with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Pompeo was on Hannity last night.
I have no recollection of a conversation like that. Look, we were all pretty down. We were about to hand over the reins of foreign policy to what this administration, we've seen these last 8 months, what that means for the United States of America. So if someone asked, was I excited about January 20th and the fact that we were no longer going to have the capacity to secure American freedom, I count me for being a pretty dark place too. But what's important to know, Sean, is, you know, all this has as a predicate this idea that somehow there was this fear, there was the cabinet members running around concerned that Donald Trump was going to engage in some kind of rogue activity or some kind of act of war to sort of lash out. This never happened. It's just patently absurd. And so the entire predicate for all of this assessment that Woodward has now laid out in his book, we'll see what turns out. But make no mistake about it, during that entire time, the entire time I served, all 4 years, we conducted orderly foreign policy. We had a national security team that was working hard to make sure that we made the best decisions we possibly could. And I think the data set would show that we did a pretty damn effective job in doing that.
I love me some Pompeo, man. So over in the Senate, and there have been a lot of reactions on what in the world do we do about the whole Milley issue? What do we do with about this problem? And on Laura Ingraham last night, one of my favorite senators of the moment, John Kennedy, Louisiana.
I know President Biden has said he will stand behind and stands behind General Milley. And maybe that's true for the short term, but I'm going to give you even odds that eventually the White House throws him under the bus.
Whoa.
Because the White House desperately needs someone besides President Biden on which to blame the stunning incompetence in Afghanistan.
Now, that's an interesting triangulation from Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, that will the Biden White House stand by Milley because he now enjoys the glow that accompanies the reputation of anybody willing to throw Trump under the bus, or will he be collateral damage in order so that the Biden folks can ultimately, eventually say that Milley had to go because of Afghanistan? I love Senator Kennedy, obviously, but I don't know about that. I don't think Afghanistan is much Milley's fault. I mean, you don't always go to the Joint Chiefs chairman and for strategy sessions. I think there's much more blame on Secretary of Defense Austin, the Secretary of State Blinken, than Milley. So but again, that actual culpability never prevented any administration from finding someone to put in the guillotine in order to make a problem go away. Well, guess what? Afghanistan's not going away. Milleygate. Anybody coin that? Am I first? Probably not. Is not going away. And it's not just so that we can score cheap political points or put another shiv in Biden's ribs or anything like that. It's because the way we got out of Afghanistan was a disgrace, a fatal disgrace to 13 magnificent men and women who served this country. It didn't have to happen. I will totally remain open to General Milley giving me, you, anybody else, a reason to believe that he is not guilty of the highest treachery. Till then, I'm willing to believe the story is true. And if it is, he has so got to go. Speaking of people who've got to go, in a very different vein, me, for this show, at least the first of two, hosting the Prager Show, and got a very special thing happening in that program. Tell you about it next. Until the day I die. So I got to thinking, it's B.B. King's birthday, born this date 96 years ago, passed away a few years ago. And we just had some love thrown to Eric Clapton's way, because he was just at Dickies Arena. And I thought, well, let me go back to the year 2000, where B.B. King and Eric Clapton had an album out called Riding with the King. Here's the title track. Oh, but it gets better. Guess who wrote this? That would be John Hiatt, whose music I played just a few minutes ago, just because I love me some John Hiatt. Ah, look at there. Ain't it crazy how things work out? All right, Larry Elder in his first post-California gubernatorial recall election interview with me on the Prager Show, 1206. Join me for Rhonda and Matt and Gordon. I'm Mark Davis. God bless. Here comes Mike Gallagher. See you at noon.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.